Welcome to Moments with Marianne. This is your host, Marianne Pastana, and we're here today with special guest, Justin L. Shaw, who's here to share with us his new book, Sorcery 101, 13 Rungs to a Higher Elevation of Consciousness. So what if the key to unlocking your highest potential wasn't about finding yourself, but creating yourself? Well, today's guest is here to share with us just that. When Source does not call the qualified, it qualifies the called. Justin L. Shaw is a mystical comedian, stand-up philosopher, and a sorcerer passionate about empowering people to reclaim their self-worth and manifest their highest potential. Following a long battle with substance abuse, PTSD, depression, and anxiety disorders, Justin, a former stand-up comedian, experienced firsthand the redeeming power of source energy after an incredible experience he will never forget. This led him to studying and practicing various spiritual teachings from across the globe, as well as gaining an ability to access the sea of pure information existing in the quantum field to create a new system of trauma healing. A new life as a hope dealer emerged. So welcome to the show, Justin L. Shaw.
Thank you so much. It is awesome to be here.
Oh my goodness, what a great honor it is to have you here and to talk about this book. So before I even get started down the road of anything, I have to know, like, what inspired you to write this?
So yeah, that's quite a story. I would say the book itself, I like to explain the book as, The Four Agreements meets The Secret meets Million Little Pieces if it were written by Jerry Seinfeld. So if that sounds something up your alley. So I created this system of healing. So it's a system of healing trauma, because I believe trauma is the most important and most misunderstood issue facing the entire world, really. And when we have unhealed trauma, it tends to just sit and cloud the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe is extremely important because it manages thinking, decision-making, problem-solving, and attention. It also regulates things like emotion, and it influences our personality. And it's critical for judgment, impulse, and social interactions. So having a clouded frontal lobe is kind of like having an orchestra without a conductor. There's just chaos. And everyone knows someone, that just has chaos in their life. Their lives is essentially just a big dumpster fire. And I would know, because I was one of those people. So, having gone through my journey and gone through what I've been through, I've kind of gone from patient to physician. And I created this system because the medical community kind of failed me in this regard. So, I mean, the fact is the medical community will never truly heal people like myself with trauma, because they focus on the symptoms rather than the root cause, which is spiritual bankruptcy. Let's say 100 people, go out and have a lunch once a month, and 90 of those people get deathly ill. You know, the medical approach, the Western medical approach anyways, is to dole out 90 anti-nausea pills to those 100 people, rather than just checking on the root cause, which is the quality of the food. So there's a necessary element to the mind-body-spirit combination, and that is the spirit, and it gets disrespected and left out of the whole mind-body-spirit connection in regards to health. And we will never get better without including this in the whole triangle in regards to health. Really, it's just recently that we've decided that oh the mind and body are connected. I mean, we're talking in the past couple decades. It's taken that long to really to come up with, like, oh, these two things are connected. Okay, well, the spirit is still completely left out of that equation. And so this is a system I created that helped heal my trauma. And now I can think my orchestra has a conductor, and enough to the point where I created this system and wrote a book. And this is someone who's been through all kinds of stuff, drug addictions, and I've been to jails and spent night on park benches and had all kinds of really nasty things happen due to things in childhood and even things in my adult life that just have caused massive issues in my life. Job firings, could never keep a job. And I came up with this after massive hunting to get better. And that's how I created the system.
I think that that's such an important piece. And one thing I'd like to touch on is the word sorcery. You're doing a play on words. I'd love for you to share that with us.
Yes. So yeah, that's important as well. So it is spelled with a U because it is not about becoming a better wizard. I know everyone would like to, you know, be able to, you know, levitate the remote into your hand or turn your roommate into a frog, but I'm not Gandalf. So sorcery is spelled with a U because source energy is what surrounds us at all times. And it is a field of information. It's called many things in different religions and different, but even science has names for it. Dark matter, which it's not really one of my favorite terms. It's dark matter because we can't see it. But in my mind, I'm the dark matter. That's the light matter. But it's called many things, the unified field, the quantum field. It is source. It is that energy that we all come from and we're all going back to. And it can be utilized as a field of information and a source of healing. And so that is why it's called sorcery. It's to separate itself from actual sorcery. But it's using that energy and that field to guide us to better thriving lives. It's there, but it's much like the cloud. You know, if you don't know the cloud is there, you can't store and or access information in it. It's you have to know it's there in order to utilize it. So that is why it's called sorcery. Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking the time to explain that. I mean, you mentioned that transformation in your book, you mentioned that transformation is both difficult and painful. What personal experiences shaped your understanding of this, and how did you overcome that?
Yeah, there is a river of discomfort that comes when we change. Whenever we're kind of in our mode, especially when I was in my kind of self-destructive mode of, you know, drinking or using drugs, and my drug of choice was given to me by doctors. I had a massive pill problem, and I was part of that whole opiate issue in the mid-2000s there, and other pills as well, stimulants, benzodiazepines. You know, I was not much of a street drug addict. I liked what doctors fed me. And in order to cross the river of change, there's just this massive discomfort that comes with it. And it's important to know it's there and to push through it, because on the other side, it's rewiring your brain, and rewiring your brain is hard. But, you know, on the other side of fear is freedom. And it's just important for people to know that it's going to be uncomfortable. You know, change is uncomfortable. And sitting here on the other side of that river, it's just absolutely amazing what it's done for me and how I feel. And it's just fantastic. So I kind of, that's where this kind of system came from. And it's rungs. I should have gone over this earlier. There's a system of rungs. So my time in Alcoholics Anonymous kind of spurned this. I kind of saw people getting better with this system. I had all this stuff in my mind, but I had to organize it. So instead of steps moving forward, I felt like moving up is, you know, maybe moving forward is good, but moving up is better. So I created a system of rungs, and there's 13 of them, because the bird has a better view on things than the worm. So it's kind of climbing this ladder to higher consciousness, which that's the subtitle, 13 rungs to higher elevation of consciousness. And each rung kind of gets you higher, closer to that. And then there's 13 for a big reason, because 13 is a number that in society we think is unlucky, but it actually isn't unlucky. It's actually the number for the divine, and is a very lucky number. So one of the biggest things of sorcery is challenging those false beliefs and overcoming them and questioning what you believe. And so the number 13 is very important in that.
Well, can we go through the rungs real quick on maybe a couple of them on just how they come together and how this approach works and helps people?
Yeah. So each one is, I would say, of equal importance. I kind of put them in an order, but the order of importance is always going to be subjective. You know, some may need more of your attention while others may come naturally. So there's, you know, there's 13 of them. There's shadow work. There's a call for inaction. There's surrender to serenity. Health is wealth. Emotional alchemy, which is a big one. I can go over that one. Comfort in discomfort. Attention to intention. Goats over sheep. Follow your bliss. Rose-colored contacts. Instinct versus intuition. That chakra life and assist leader. So I kind of left them a little fun and vague. I didn't quite, but they're, each one is very different. Like, let's say we don't have time to go over them all, obviously, but let's say emotional alchemy is a big one. So if you're familiar with alchemy at all, that is the transition of base metals into gold. It's a magical process. This, you know, someone like Gandalf or Merlin would know, but emotional alchemy is something that's very real, and you can turn things like judgment of others into curiosity. You can turn things like pain into motivation. You know, there's various, you know, emotions that we can overcome, and through acts like forgiveness and kindness, you know, we can turn these base emotions into elevated emotions and live much, much better lives. So that's kind of an example of one of them.
I like how you start off with the first rung of shadow work. And for a lot of people who might not be familiar with that, why was that so important?
It's one of the most misunderstood things that we go through. And, you know, when a soul is broken, it creates a shadow. It was Carl Jung who coined that term. And it's that side of us that we don't like. It's that reactionary, the lizard brain, the reactionary side of us that there's the divine and there's the shadow. And everyone's got this to some degree. You know, some people may have their shadows may not be as quite invasive in their lives as other people. Other people, their shadow rules the life and their life is complete chaos. And they have anger issues and drug addiction. Their shadow is just ruling their life. So it is the subconscious part of us that we have to dive into. And it, you know, we are not the shadow. We are the awareness of the shadow. So one of the things I recommend in my book is naming your shadow to create distance from it. So my shadow's name is Floyd. There's a lot of pop culture in my book. So if you like pop culture, I was raised in front of a TV. I had kind of an emotionally neglectful, we don't need to get into that, but there's an emotionally neglectful element to my childhood. And I was raised in front of a TV. So there is a lot of pop culture and a lot of fun in the book. And one of the things that came up when I was naming my shadow was this character, Floyd. In True Romance, Brad Pitt has this very small cameo role that he plays this guy on the couch that one of the more central figures. He doesn't add anything. He doesn't pay rent. He doesn't do chores. He just sits on the couch and gets stoned all day. But he adds nothing to the other character's life. But the fact is this other character lets him stay because he's like a brother and loves him. So instead of fighting our shadows, the best way is to just love it. Understand what it is. Floyd is the side of me. It is the stoner on the couch that contributes nothing to my life, but I love too much to kick out. So it's that side of me that's kind of, you know, to have that kind of distance, but also have love for it is important.
I think it is important to have that compassion for every aspect of us, especially when we're on the spiritual path, because a lot of times people don't even want to look at those.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, it's hard to look at. It's very hard to look at. And it takes some effort. This, you know, this whole thing, this, I like to say, you know, becoming a sorcerer, you know, like you're sorcerer with a U. It's, you know, it's not, it's simple, but it ain't easy. So there's an aspect to it that's like, I've created this really cool guide, but it's none of it is easy. None of it is easy. So yeah, there's definitely that element to it for sure.
So to kind of dovetail with this discussion, you draw parallels in your book between like the Source and Star Wars and that concept of the Force. So how does this comparison help explain your ideas and the work that you do?
Yeah. So Source is the Force. I like to say, may the Source be with you, because it is exactly like Obi-Wan explains it in Star Wars. It is a force made up of all living creatures that surrounds us at all time, and it binds the universe together. So it is that energy, it's just the best explanation from it. I had an awakening about 4 years ago in meditation, which meditation is a big part of sorcery for sure. And it was an awakened moment that just made me realize that there's much more to this life than we realize, and kind of the illusionary nature of it. And there is a force that I connected with that it was this moment of just it was a 3-hour download. It was just this, it was like I had been in airplane mode my whole life, and all of a sudden airplane mode was disabled. And now all these truths and realities of like how things are and what this life is and how unimportant the things I think about all day, like really matter. And it was just this extremely intense moment. And it was just three hours of, I was feeling pure bliss while all this information was coming to me. And it was, I call my near life experience, because I was not dying, but it felt like that kind of experience. And to realize that we're surrounded by, it's like fish in water. You know, like if you were to ask a fish about the water it swims in, it would say, what water? We swim in the same kind of thing. And this experience was like a fish that's been living in a pond its whole life, and all of a sudden got ripped out of its pond by an angler, you know, to realize that there's, holy crap, there's this whole other, world that I had no idea was out there. And it just was intense and really cool. And that's kind of what set me on this new path.
What a remarkable spiritual experience you had. It sounds like it really has stuck with you after having it. I mean, how long ago was that?
That was about, let's see, that was 2020. It was almost exactly 4 years ago. So it took some time to kind of get through. I was still kind of struggling with some stuff. I was going off and on. I was still kind of, you know, drinking and pills here and there. The experience was important to know. It happened in a time of complete sobriety. I'd been sober for a month at that period, but you know, afterwards and things, and I was still going back and forth, and I was struggling with a lot of loss. My mother, my sister, I had a childhood best friend. And I also had a very unfortunate thing with my son happen, that, you know, my fiance moved away and cut me out, and I haven't seen or talked to him in 2 years. So I had a lot to deal with at that time. So I was kind of cocooning, you know, and over time. And then I got really everything straight in the last couple of years, and I've righted that ship. And that's when the idea for the book came in, and all this, the system and stuff, and, you know, my whole new journey as a hope dealer, as it were. And, yeah, that's kind of how that happened.
I like that, hope dealer. I'm sure many people call you that, and I could see why, because, I mean, earlier you talked about just being this generation where you're in front of the TV. I mean, we have so many people now that are that way with devices, where they're so detached from life. I mean, you really do bring them hope, especially with this book.
Yeah, I absolutely hope to. And that there is that element. I meet people that are much like me that were raised in front of the TV, and we have an automatic connection, these people. So I like going to Comic-Con. I haven't gone to the one in San Diego yet. I really hope to make it there someday, but I go to the one here in Phoenix, I just get this sense and this energy from these people that it's like, you truly are me. Like they've globbed onto their things of childhood because they had tough childhoods, and that's what brought them joy in their childhood. And that's exactly what happened with me. And so I'm, you know, like we turn into big kids. We understand kids better, and the joy of being a child, and all these things that brought such joy as a child, you know, we kind of grow into big kids, and they're still a big part of my life. And so all these movies that I experienced, you know, as a child from the 90s and 2000s, and that, you know, that I just would watch over and over and over and over again, and they're just programmed into me. So when I wrote this book, it was just this natural kind of thing to bring these elements that are already a part of me and add this whole spiritual element and make it funny and fun, because, you know, healing trauma, you know, it can be serious at times, but it doesn't have to always be serious, you know?
Well, it's nice to have a new perspective that while you're working with trauma, you can also have some levity.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I think it's extremely important. And that's That was the whole vision and goal of the book, was to kind of make people laugh, think, and feel the whole way through. I had to keep people's attention, the kind of shattered concentration of today's generation TikTok and things. You know, we need things that's going to keep people's attention. I had to keep it really, you know, fun and fresh. So I kind of come at it with a three-headed punch of just make them laugh, think, and feel, just kind of rotate through that cycle the whole time.
In your book, you talk about karma and letting go of the past. I know so many people struggle with that. I mean, what advice do you have for them?
It's tough. It's tough letting go of the past. But one of the things I mentioned in there, the surrender to serenity chapter rung is really important in terms of that kind of emotional alchemy, that where you can go from, you know, typically letting go is something that, you know, you're holding grudges and unforgiveness against someone that did something to you or yourself. The biggest one is always ourselves, that we can kind of work through, and eventually the easier one is to forgive other people. Forgiving ourselves is the hardest one. But the whole surrender to serenity rung is about understanding the human condition better and understand why people are the way they are and why they're programmed the way they are. Once you start to understand human nature and how the human condition works, something starts to happen where you start understanding people better, and you don't take offense to the wrongs that happened to you, and you don't take offense to the wrongs that happened to you in the present. It's just kind of rolls off your back, and you just understand why people are simply reflections of the environment in which they were raised. And without conscious awareness, in order to change, people are just going to continue to repeat their past. And if they had, you know, if they saw nothing but anger growing up, they're going to be angry people, and they're going to do things that make you angry, because that's what they want. They want that rise out of you. So to understand kind of the mind of people that mess with you and like why they are the way they are is the first step to letting go and forgiveness. So that's why that rung is before emotional alchemy, because it's important to understand human nature and how it works.
And so each of these rungs are specific in their placement within the book?
Yes. Yeah. They kind of came to me, and they all make sense of how they're placed. A couple of them just showed up where they are. And then it's just, yeah, they kind of came to me that way. And I just left it. But the way they came to me as I went over and read it, when it was all kind of done, it all kind of makes sense where they are. So I just completely left them as is.
What would you like readers and our listeners to take away from Sorcery 101?
The main thing is hope. No matter what you've been through, no matter what has happened, there is always hope. And I really hope to get out there and help people understand that, you know, we are not our thoughts, and things don't have to be the way that they are. We are in complete control of our lives at every moment. There's some deep quantum physics stuff about being in superposition, and that's kind of deep, but we are creating at every moment our lives. And in order to heal, we have to start becoming conscious and aware of what's going on and how to heal. So the main thing I want to get through certainly is that there is absolute 100% hope, because I am sitting here as someone that has been through it and done it and wrote a book, and a really good book. I mean, I must say, like, I am extremely proud of myself. It is a good book, and it is worth every penny. And I couldn't have done that without hope and knowing that healing is out there.
Where can our listeners connect with you, Justin, to learn more about your work, or to connect with you, to work with you, and to learn about your book, Sorcery 101?
Yeah. So the book has only been out for about 4 weeks, self-published. So I actually have been off social media for about 4 years now, around the time of my kind of awakening. I just deleted everything. So the book itself is on Amazon. And then there's a couple other options. You can get a hold of me. I have both Telegram and email. And this is about getting the information out there more than it is making money right now. So I have 500 promotional codes for free eBooks. If you contact me, email or Telegram, so it's sorcerer13, so sorcerer13@gmail.com, or Telegram, sorcerer13. But I have 500 free ebook promotional codes, then it's on Amazon. Or I can also, I have 60 books here that I can send at cost to people and sign them and stuff. So that's another option too. So those are the kind of ways. Right now it's just awareness about the book. It really is.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us here today.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Justin. It's been such an honor to spend this time with you and to talk about your new book, Sorcery 101, 13 Rungs to a Higher Elevation of Consciousness. Make sure to email Justin to pick up your free ebook copy at sorcerer13@gmail.com. Sorcery 101 is also available for purchase at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all indie retailers. And remember, support our indie bookstores. If you don't see it on the shelf, just ask for them to order it. Well, we're at the end of our time today. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. You've been listening to Moments with Mary Ann, where we make every moment count.
In a single moment, your life can change. Moments with Mary Ann is a transformative hour that covers an endless array of topics with the best of the best. Her guests are leaders in their fields, ranging from inspirational authors, top industry leaders, and business and spiritual entrepreneurs. Each guest is gifted and a true visionary, a recognized leader in her own work, and while teaching others to develop, refocus, and grow, Mary Ann will bring the best guest and sometimes a special surprise. Don't miss this. You never know just which moment will change your life forever. Make sure to tune in and visit MomentsWithMaryAnn.com for more information.